Once again, you're having too much fun. Hey, it's an exciting morning, isn't it? Despite the rain and the weather, I feel like there's a sense of excitement in the place this morning, and that just makes me more excited. Before we get into what clearly is going to be a slightly different Sunday morning to the past couple weeks, I just wondered if any of our youth leaders could stand up. Those who are on the junior service team, youth leaders, or maybe even on the security team. Kurt Bosma, I know, was there, and a few other guys. Ash Verdon. Come on, mate. Come on, Ash. Come on, Ash. There he is. Hey, I got the massive privilege on Friday night of coming and speaking to the youth and just being a part of the team. And whilst it was super scary for me, what I did see was an amazing group of people who are so invested into loving on our youth. Not just our youth, but youth that come from the street, that come from some broken families, and they are just, their heart and soul is to see those kids know that they are worth more than anything they could ever imagine. And it was just incredible. So could you give them a hand? They're amazing. You can sit down now. Ash, he's already down. And the last thing I wanted to highlight was Crowd Connect. Last Tuesday, who was at Crowd Connect? That's a fair few. If you weren't there, you really missed out. We heard from Michael and Chloe, and they were amazing. Really, really cool. And this Tuesday night, 7 p.m. in the small auditorium, like we do for our 5 p.m. services, Lucy Cunningham's bringing a message. A fair few of you might not know Lucy because she's fairly new to Eastlake. You probably see her husband up on the sound desk at the moment. But Lucy, we asked Lucy to speak because if you spend 5 minutes with Lucy, you'll know that she has a heart for Jesus. And she's got an amazing story, but more than that, it's her relationship with Jesus that is inspiring and you just want more of. So I can't encourage you enough to come Tuesday night, hear Lucy speak, and we're connecting in our connect groups after that. Is that cool?
That's good, mate.
Let's get on to what's happening different on the stage. So this is our Blessed Life series, and it's a 5-week series, and we thought right in the middle, why don't we switch things up a little bit? I've got some amazing people in my life, and one of those is my granddad, Ed Jennings, and he is an absolute inspiration to me. By the way that he lives, but also his wisdom. How many people know that there is a portion more of wisdom in this block right here? and it slightly lessens as we move down to here. I'm going to get in trouble from the senior ladies group on Thursday. Please don't tell me off. But I've asked Granddad to come. He's my granddad. I've asked him to come, and I just want to talk to him. And I hope that we can all join in the conversation and draw out a little bit of that wisdom that I've encountered in my lifetime. He is an amazing man. He started a business many years ago that has left a legacy for our entire family. My cousin now operates it. My wife has worked there. My mum's worked there. My auntie started another business from that. So he's got a wealth of knowledge in the marketplace, and he's got a wealth of knowledge of God. So will you invite him up onto stage with a big hand? I picked a really low, hard seat for him to sit down on.
Thank you.
Shall we hug awkwardly in front of everyone?
Yeah.
Let's sit awkwardly in front of everyone also. I think you got the low seat. One's dodgier than the other.
I might go to
sleep.
But
it's all about the look.
How am I going to get out?
So how was your week?
It's been good. Last couple of days have been a bit toey. Yeah. I haven't been up here for a long while. Is anyone there? Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
I guess I'll kick it off with a bit of background.
Yep.
Did you come from a wealthy family?
No. middle of the road, I'd say, middle class.
Yeah.
My dad worked for the same company for 50 years, started off down office boy or whatever, and finished up as general manager. But he was a wage earner.
So were you exposed to money then at a young age, the concept of money?
No, I didn't get any pocket money. That hadn't been invented. but they taught me by example, because you know they were very careful with their money, to a degree. But he was a little bit careless that he used to leave odd change on his bedside table.
Yeah.
And I must admit, at age 6 or 7, I took some unauthorised loans. Non-repayable loans. Sixpence would go and buy a chocolate or two. And it's funny, I never owned up to it until now. so I hope God forgives me. But I did find out a couple of weeks ago that one of my daughters, who will remain unnamed, no, not that one, did the same to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what comes around goes around or something.
The beginnings of an accountant.
Yeah.
So what was your first job?
My first job was at Orient Line, a passenger shipping company. I started there on the 6th of December 1954, Monday, 9 a.m. Wage, £5, 8 shillings and 6 pence, which equates to $11.
$11 an hour?
Hey, cut it out. 45 hours. Wow. Yeah.
So from there, like, that's a fairly humble beginning, I guess.
Yep.
What was the journey from there into what motivated you, I guess, to get a degree, to train and to learn and then to start your own business?
Well, I left school at 15. My parents wanted me to go on. I gave them the super sales talk and said this was an opportunity that was too good to miss, this shipping company, because I was going to get trips around the world and all sorts of things. But after a while, it was just a clerical administrative job. And my dad used to always say to me, get a ticket. And what he meant was get a qualification. He said, without a ticket, you're not going to get on. So I started night school, and I'd enroll at the end of January each year at Perth Technical College, take a bookkeeping course. By the end of March, footy season started, training's on, it'd just go.
You didn't have to play that often though, footy, did you?
Excuse me, I was first picked and captain, as you know. the night school went to one side until I met June, and then I got a sense of responsibility, and I studied accountancy. Took me 10 years to qualify. I didn't fail any subjects, but I took a long while because along the way we accumulated 4 kids and a big fat mortgage, and so there are other pressures, and I had a job, so there are other pressures on me.
So on that point of the more beautiful person in the couple, Nana.
Yes.
When did you meet Nana? How old were you?
Met her when I was 17, so she would have been 16. I just purchased a Vespa.
Moped?
Yeah. Not a moped, a Vespa. Yeah, Vespa. Scooter. A Vespa scooter. 125.
Moped.
125cc. And I took my big mate over to Leederville Town Hall. They had what's known as a dance on Tuesday nights. And I went in there and I saw this bloke that I'd gone to school with, ugly looking bloke, but he had a lovely, lovely girl on his arm. And it was June. And so we met each other and that's where it all started.
And so you weren't a Christian at that point?
Long way off it.
Long way off it. How did you and Nana end up coming to Christ?
We had a sort of God consciousness, and sometimes we'd go to the Anglican church, but very rarely. But we lived around the corner from the Como Baptist Church, and they let us know that they had Sunday school. So we sent our 4 kids along to Sunday school, thinking it would be a good opportunity to free babysitting, offload basically. Them. offload them and read the lie in bed and read the Sunday Times. So that went on for a few months, and then they came home and said there was a family camp at Serpentine, planned for Serpentine, brand new facility. This is the 1970s. Tennis court, swimming pool, footy oval, what more you want. And it was cheap. We didn't have any money at that time, so it was a cheap weekend. And I thought, up in the lush hills of Serpentine, sporting facilities, what could go wrong? And so we went up there, and there was no pastor there. There was just an American professor who was visiting, and he spoke about the family, under God, the family. And then we'd break into small groups. And the end of those 3 days, our lives were just absolutely changed. Yeah.
How old were you?
33. Same age as Jesus was when he left.
Wow. How many times have you used that line?
Oh, many, many times. Yeah.
So prior to Christ, you mentioned then you didn't have a lot of money, but you had a good initiative. I think you've mentioned before you were pretty good at saving.
Yep.
What did church, how did that affect your, vision of money?
Well, it took a bit of getting used to tithing.
Yeah.
Because I was established, and we went into a Baptist church, and they immediately hit me with the need to tithe, and I took me a while to get my head around that.
Yeah.
I'd tithe for a while, then fall by the wayside, and then come again, and but I eventually came to the conclusion that God didn't want my money. He wanted me. He wanted my heart. And once he had my heart, money wasn't any problem. And you can't outgive God. You know, that's the thing I've learned. You cannot outgive God. And the scripture says, give and it'll be given unto you, running over. And with the same measure you give, it'll be given to you. So I give in faith, expecting to be blessed. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Mm. I remember once before you taught me about catching that vision like you've just described there, and this process of faith that you went through with your tithes and having a small business at the time.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. When you're in business, of course, you're not on a steady income, and your income varies from one year to another depending on how good a year it is. So it was sort of a bit up and down. But what we decided to do, June and I would get together and say, well, okay, it's the end of the financial year. Our profit last year was $50,000. We will now start tithing on the basis that next year it'll be $60,000. And every time we did that, God honoured it. And our income went up to match the tithe that we'd paid in faith.
Wow.
Yeah, marvellous.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's one of the lessons that I've learnt from Grandad that I've tried to apply into Lee and I's life. That is gold right there.
Yeah.
That is faith right there with our giving. It's huge.
Mm.
It's pretty powerful stuff.
Thank you.
Have you got any, being an accountant, trained accountant, working in business, what would be your number one tip in terms of money management?
Well, I was going to say my number one tip would be to budget. My number one tip first would be to ask God for wisdom, because he has said, anyone lacks wisdom, ask. It's all you've got to do is ask for wisdom. So ask for wisdom. But the other more practical thing is that, set a budget. You can get software now that's so easy. I record, even to this day, right through my life, I've recorded every item of expenditure I've ever spent. And I always match that against income, so I can just press a button and find out how much Nana has spent on clothes in the last month and draw her
it's
to
a
one
lot,
side.
Right?
Yeah, it's through the roof. It's the biggest expenditure item I have. And coffee.
And coffee. Mm. Yeah, so budgeting, you obviously input all that.
Yep.
And then it gives you a perspective on where you're spending your money.
Yeah, so I know where my money is going, but more importantly, I know that there's enough money that I'm not overspending.
Yeah,
I'm keeping within my means.
Yeah,
and so with the budget, it's easier when you're on a set wage, you know that's your income. But you know, if your expenses are above your wage, well, then you need to cut back.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. On that budgeting note, I'm not sure if you met Aaron up on the screen talking about cap budgeting. Starts June 21. Lee's at the info desk, ready to sign anyone up. It's a free course, and it only goes for 3 weeks. And it's budgeting. It's how to simply do it. And Lee does it in our family. And at first, I was like, sorry again. Old people budget. That was my thought, but in reality, old people are wise, and the reason they budget is because they are wise and have money. Mm. And here I am going, why don't I have any money? Listen up.
Yep.
So CAP Money is an awesome course. Make sure you sign up for it. You've also spoken to me about making big decisions and the process that you go through in, because we can't, living within our means doesn't mean never stretching ourselves to own a car, own a house, but we've got to be smart about that. And you've got a bit of a process that you talked about when making a big decision.
Yeah, and that is never make a decision on the spot. I learnt this 50 years ago. We went to a presentation, just my sister and her husband and June and I went to a presentation, by a... So you haven't been able to hear me up till now. It was a set of new style saucepans that would enable you to live to 100 because they were so healthy. And special, they were marvellous. And I wanted to buy one. My sister and her husband bought them. And then just, I weren't a Christian at that stage, but I just said, no, I'm going to sleep on it. And I slept on it. And the next morning I woke up and said, I can't afford those saucepans. Mm. And so that taught me a lesson that I never ever, I shouldn't say never ever, once I didn't, but I don't make decisions on the spot. I sleep on it and I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be the umpire of my heart. If I haven't got peace after 2 or 3 days, well, I won't go ahead until I've got peace. And that's the strategy.
Yeah, that's a weakness of mine. I'll see a car and go, ooh. And the deal is always, it's always on sale. That's something you've also said.
Yeah.
I'm like, but it's on sale now. This will never come back around. But you would argue that everything's always on sale. Yep. Everything comes around again.
Once in a lifetime opportunity happens every day.
Happens every time.
Yeah.
You just got to walk through the forum.
Yeah.
So you alluded to one mistake.
Yep.
That you've made in the past.
Yep.
Are you comfortable sharing that with us?
If you allow me to have my security blanket.
My security blanket? Oh, that's what the iPad's for.
Yes, that's what the iPad's for. Just in case I lose my track. You might have to do this for me because you're more tech orientated. Oh, there it is. Yeah. No, that's all.
He calls me... almost once a week. I forgot my password.
Yeah.
How do I get this back?
Notes.
He said there it is, but he's still going.
Okay. It's not the one I was looking for, but back in March 2012...
Keep that mic there. Thanks, Nana.
Thank you, June.
Just keep yelling it out whenever...
I received a phone call from someone close to me to tell me that there was an opportunity to make an investment in a company that was known to me. The offer was restricted to a very small number of people, and the intention was that the company would on-sell within 2 or 3 years at a very high capital gain. In the meantime, there were good dividends being paid. The opportunity was just what I'd been looking for. I had $449,000 sitting in my superannuation account. It was going nowhere. The GFC had been in a few years before. Interest rates went down. Shares went down. Dividends went down. Everything was, it was just stagnating. And you might think, well, that's an awful lot of money to have. Well, it was in my super fund and it was there to provide income for us in our retirement, because we do not qualify for a pension. We are what's called self-funded retirees. So even though I've had the joy of paying tax for 50 years, I don't get anything back. So I have to provide for myself. So this 449 sitting there.
Around this time, you had an accident as well. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was in January of that year. This is 2012. I had a quad bike accident.
How old were you then?
I wasn't wearing a helmet. 73.
This boggles me. A 73-year-old quad bike accident on a farm. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
I had two companions. They were dogs. One was sitting in the front and one was behind, and we're going along quite happily. I'd never driven one before. It was powerful. When I went to the hospital later, they said, I can't believe this thing didn't wear a helmet. But anyway, something happened and a tree came up in front of me, and I smashed into a tree. I punctured my lungs. There was blood in the lung. I broke three ribs, and I was in extreme pain for many, many weeks. And I had I was nauseous because of the powerful painkillers I was taking, and I was going down zip quick. It was during that time that I developed post-traumatic stress syndrome from the accident. And I only had it for 2 months, but it was the most shocking 2 months of my life. It was absolute darkness and blackness. Anyway, right in the middle of that, the phone call comes for the $449,000. But I still made a decision. And the decision was that I didn't wait on God. I didn't do any due diligence. I just hopped straight in, took my $449,000 out of my superannuation account and put it into this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that was going to grow. I jumped straight in, as I say. No peace of God, no prayer, no listening to what I'd done previously. Was there an element of greed? Absolutely. Yeah, there was an element of greed. Fast forward 2 years to 2014. I'm healthy, wealthy. I'm healthy. My thing's gone. My health's good. But I get confirmation that this company that I've put all of my money into has been liquidated. Wow. Belly up, no assets, no money, no dividends, nothing. To say that I was devastated would be an absolute understatement. I was ashamed that someone with my experience could make such a horrendous error. I was just down the pit. But then my God-loving wife brought me a scripture which renewed and revived and encouraged me. And it was from 2 Chronicles 25. Sorry about that. And I'll give you the background. This is an amazing story, and the king's name is Amaziah, so that helps. But King Amaziah was a king of Judah. And he started, like most kings, he started off good and then got a bit bad towards the end. But this was in his good part. And he was being threatened by the opposing forces. And he had 300,000 men in his army, but he didn't think that was enough. So he went over to Israel, who weren't involved in this skirmish, and he said to the king of Israel, can I hire 100,000 men of valour from you? And he said, no worries. He said, but it'll cost you. And he said, well, what will it cost me? And he said, 100 talents of silver. I did the conversion rate to that, and it's 1.65 million.
It's huge.
1.65 million. And so he got his 100,000 men, came back, had the army of 400,000, and then he got what we all get, and that is a tap on the shoulder. And he turned around, and the tap on the shoulder was from a man of God. And the man of God said to him, O king, Do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. Do not allow these Israelites to be part of your army. You will not win. And then he asked a question that I would have asked. He said, but what shall we do about the 1.65 million which I've given over to Israel?
They'd already paid it.
Already paid it. And the man of God answered, and these are the words that just transformed me. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is able to give you much more. I just lost 449,000. That verse turned my life around. The Holy Spirit led me to forgive the person who'd wronged me, to forgive the directors of the company, one in particular, to no longer hold any grudges, to no longer look back, to look forward with God's help. And no more if-onlys, no more what-ifs. It was dealt with. Wipe it clean, start afresh. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Thank you, June.
The Lord is able to give you much more than this.
Yes. Yeah. So fast forward 4 years today. Here we are. 6 years later, and I will place my hand on my heart. And say that God has fully restored everything I lost. Every single dollar.
Wow. That is incredible, isn't it? It's the heart of God for us, I think, that we are not to hold on to the mistakes that we've made, or the pain that we've felt, or the people that have hurt us. That 100,000 talents didn't matter. The victory with God mattered, and He can do so much more than this. That is an incredible story of faith, isn't it? Would you thank Granddad again? Thank you so much. He was nervous. But he was bold, and that's what I absolutely love about Granddad. He'll come up to a situation, and it might be scary, but their faith in God allows them to overcome whatever scenario comes to them. Maybe not straight away. Maybe it takes Nana delivering a scripture like that, but Nana was only able to just deliver a scripture like that because of her constant prayer and her constant reading of her word. Pretty cool. Amazing. Thank you so much. Hey, as the band get up, I just want to lead us in our God is able moment. I feel like it's almost already been done by the amazing Ellie that jumped up on stage and talked about how our sacrifice of what God has entrusted us with can unlock even more than we could think, ask, or imagine. And then that story that Granddad's instilled in me of tithing with faith and believing for an increase. And that is what this whole God is able moment, that for those of you who don't know, where at this time we've got a opportunity for you to give over and above into our legacy fund, which funds at the moment our building, but will fund the future of this church into and gives us an opportunity to leave a legacy. So we're asking people to fill out the yellow envelopes on your seat. And I just want to thank all the people who have already been involved up until this point. Over the last 2 weeks, and including the people who faithfully give into this fund over years and years and years, we've actually able to project, I guess, from the one-off giving and people who have given fortnightly and monthly and weekly, that we've raised in the last 2 weeks $36,000 over the next 6 months. It's pretty huge. Come on. Like, let's put our hands together for the people who are leaving a legacy in this church and building into our future. It's huge. So, I guess there was one scripture that I wanted to highlight as I've been praying into this moment. And it's in Isaiah 32:8. It says, "But generous people plan to do what is generous. They plan to do what is generous. And they stand firm in their generosity." In some scriptures it says that they stand on their generosity. And I just think that's so cool, because so often we can be guided by our emotions in these times. And I don't want you to be guided by your emotions. I don't want you to feel like I've given a great message for giving and then give. I want you to give because you are generous in nature. And I believe that all of our East Lake family are generous in their nature, and that when we plan to give, the promise there is that we can stand on that generosity. So my question is, I guess, what are you standing on right now? Are you standing on success? Because success doesn't last forever. And I guess this is kind of a picture of that story that Granddad went through. He had success. He'd developed a wealth, but lost it. But I believe that it was his generosity that he continued and did not lose that allowed him to restore all of that money in a space of 4 years. So I'm encouraging you right now, as the worship team play, if you could stand to your feet, stay seated, talk to your wife if you want to, and fill out that envelope. What we'll do is we'll play the music, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to go to one of the stands at the back of the auditorium. We also have FPOS at the info desk, and there are people there that are going to pray with you. They don't need to know the amount or what you are believing for. You just put that in the bucket, and these guys are here to agree with you, because what we want you to do is not just give out of need for the church, because we all know that money is a powerful thing and allows us practically to do a lot in our community. But what we want you to do is think about that thing. What are you believing for in your life? Like Ellie talked about in the story of Hannah, what are you believing God to unlock in your life? That's why we've got this scripture now. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. We believe that when you give sacrificially over and above your tithe, you can unlock things in your life. And so as you go to the station, I encourage you not just to go with what you know you can give and what will stretch you, but to take with that a sense of faith and belief for something. I know for Lee and I, we in these moments sometimes believe for a breakthrough in our marriage, a breakthrough in the healing for Piper, or maybe it's a breakthrough to have a child. I'm not saying that when you give that you will get all this money back or that thing will come through. What I'm saying is that your whole life will be transformed when you choose to trust God in that area. When you go to that station and believe that God will have his way with Piper, that God will have his way with my garden, that God will have his way with my job or my finances. And no matter what, whether they change, whether he takes me on a different journey, and whether that thing that I'm believing for, he actually talks to me about and says, "You don't need that, but I've got this for you." Go to the station as we sing. Take your offering, pray over it, and believe for something in your heart during that moment, because I believe that we will have breakthrough because God is able. Lord, I pray over our God is able offering, Lord. And I pray over those people who have invested their money, Lord, with a heart of faith in believing for subject, Lord. And I ask that you would come through in that area that they're trusting you with, Lord, and that you would reveal to them your glory. Lord, we know that your thoughts are higher than ours, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that whatever people are believing for in this moment and have been believing for over the last couple weeks, Lord, I pray that you would provide an increase, that you would provide a breakthrough or a path that not even they could even imagine to ask for, Lord, because you are worthy, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I'm just conscious in this moment that we're doing a financial series, and yes, we're talking about money, but more importantly than any of that is your relationship with Jesus. And I was reading something recently, or heard something recently, sorry, about a study that revealed that in Australia, they believe that 80% of people believe that they're is a God or something greater than themselves. And I was reading the scripture in a class, Ecclesiastes 3:11, that says, God has planted eternity in our heart. And I believe that's where that sense of belief comes from. And our job as the church is to put a big flag up and say, we believe that Jesus is the solution to that hole in your heart. Because how many people know that we're all searching for something in our lives, some meaning or some purpose, and that when we invite Jesus into our life and continue our relationship with him, he reveals that plan and that purpose and that meaning to us. I'm just conscious that there might be people sitting here who kind of have that feeling in their heart that maybe they have never invited Jesus into their life. Maybe they don't really understand what it means to have a relationship with him. Having a relationship with Jesus really just requires you believing in him, acknowledging that we all sin, and that the Bible doesn't say that if you do good stuff, you are not a sinner and you will go into heaven. The Bible says we're all sinners. And despite the good and bad things that we have done, Jesus loves you anyway and died on the cross just so that you could believe in him and therefore have eternal life. So I'm going to count to three. This is how we do it. There's nothing really spiritual about it. But I want you to close your eyes. And for those Eastlakers who do know they have a relationship with Jesus, I ask that you would pray in this moment, that you wouldn't consider this just another moment that we do in church every week, but you would pray for those that are standing here right now with their eyes closed, knowing there's something missing in their life, and can feel a voice in their head saying, there's something about this place, there's something about the people here. I want to tell you that that is Jesus. It's not us. It's not our music. It's not the lights. It's not the building. It's our love for Jesus and our relationship with him. And so, if that's you this morning, we want to celebrate with you. We want to pray a short prayer with you that leads you into this relationship. And we've got a pack, and everyone's eyes will be closed except for myself and a few people up the back that will come and pray with you and give you a small pack, because it's not a once in a lifetime thing. It's a journey and a relationship, and we want to journey on that with you. So if that's you, would you put your hand up and wave it at me? I just want to acknowledge it and know who I'm praying for, and it's actually an outward expression of the decision that you're going to make today that will change the rest of your life. I'm going to give it time, because I don't believe this moment's awkward. I believe it's powerful. Awesome. Lord, I thank you that right now this room is full of Christ followers. And Lord, I ask that you would impart a blessing on them, that as they go out into their workplace and community would create an influence and create that question of what is it about that person that's different, Lord. And I pray that you would give them an opportunity this week to invite someone to church, to see someone's life changed by a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to go out with a little bit more worship. So please stick around, worship with us, celebrate with us. What a great Sunday this is.